Everybody, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. How do you feel about people? Now, we've got to say something about people who like Veronica, right? Veronica came on the air last week and she talked about last week she was talking about wanting to take a cruise up the Mediterranean, and a group of people responded. They said, let us send a dollar for the Veronica Cruise Fund. And we've got 9-10 people so far have sent letters with a dollar donation. Some people sent more than a dollar for the Veronica Cruise Fund. Now all we need now, Veronica, is for you to call and give us your address so we can forward your money for your cruise up the Mediterranean. It's nice, fundraising at WBAI for more than just the station. And if you notice, I have a little cold today, so my breathing is a little short, but I've got the help of all my friends here, and we will be doing just fine. But let's talk about dislike of people. Do you like or dislike people? It's a question. Why do people like and dislike? In science's point of view, the ability to choose is mandatory for survival. Of course, it's rational to dislike poison and to like food that sustains you. We have different tastes only because in the early days, people didn't know what was poisonous and what was not poisonous. So they ate everything. Sometimes that was good to eat yesterday may have been spoiled overnight by active bacteria, even to be deadly the next day. So it's simple as this. The people who liked the food yesterday would eat it again and die, right? Because the food spoiled. And the ones who did not like it did not eat it and survived. The ones who could choose between spoiled and not spoiled survived. Think about that in your relationships. Maybe you liked your relationship once and you ate it and it was fine. It nurtured you. And then the bacteria got there. And it's spoiled. And it's not so good, so you continue to eat it, and you die. So some people just say, hey, I've eaten so many bad bacteria by this point that I'm not going to eat any more people. Well, I'm getting to sound like the zombie movies.
Sounds of the Lambs.
But it's... So some things go with dislike. The body produces chemicals that makes you avoid things. There are chemicals that we have over 1,000 years of liking and disliking was expanded to other things too. The interaction with others is an important part of survival. Liking and disliking is a core function of who we are and what we are. It's the sum of our education, our religion. I believe people who are dropping out of society have this chemical balance somehow broken. I think that when you're a dropout, it may be chemical imbalance as well as psychological imbalance. So I looked in the internet and I tried to see what is it that people think like and dislike is all about. And Juliet and I discovered one article that we thought would give you 5 points on liking and disliking people. Julian, read those.
Sure. So we've got step one here. Determine whether you dislike people or you suffer from an anxiety disorder.
Now, I would say even that this anxiety disorder could feel like just an aversion to people. So it may not just be nervousness. It could also be aversion.
Right. If you feel unhappy, bored, or disinterested in social situations, you probably just don't like being around people. If, however, you worry for days or weeks before an event, feel physically ill in social settings, or feel faint in new situations, you may suffer from an anxiety disorder or an aversion. Step 2. Ask yourself what it is that you dislike about people. Maybe you don't like the strong smell of perfume that accompanies some women. Maybe you dislike answering personal questions about yourself over and over again when you meet new people. Pinpoint exactly what issue keeps you from spending time with people and ask yourself why it's such a problem. Step 3. Talk with a friend, therapist, counselor, pastor, anybody who you can talk to about your dislike of people. Sometimes just discussing your feelings with another person and getting positive feedback can help you feel more relaxed and at ease in social settings. Step 4. Acknowledge that people will sometimes hurt you. Maybe you had your heart broken by a boyfriend or had a close friend spread a nasty rumor about you. Now you may feel afraid to spend time with people in case you get hurt again. Unfortunately, no one is perfect, and even the people closest to you will make mistakes that cause you pain. Realize that this is part of being human, and part of making friends means accepting that they can hurt you.
Accepting that they can hurt you is a big deal, huh? You know, it's like some people believe if you're my friend, you can't hurt me. But of course you get hurt. I'll get hurt by something you do because it's your preference. And it doesn't match my preference.
And step 5. Slowly start to spend time in social situations. Be brave and venture out into a new setting. Visit a coffee shop and make small talk with the servers. Go on a short walk and greet the dog walkers who pass you. Join a class and chat with your classmates. Eventually, you may feel comfortable enough to invite them to spend time with you outside the classroom.
A couple of scientists have done significant work with MRI machines trying to tell how the brain functions and doesn't function if you dislike rather than liking people. Wanted to be able to distinguish between the parts. There's a test that they use, which is a very interesting thing. When you run into people, are you mentalizing or harmonizing? That's a very interesting question. Mentalizing is intuit what others are thinking. Harmonizing is using self-control to keep from alienating others. Think about that difference. One is being suspicious, and the other is trying to be self-inclusive. So let's say you go on a trip somewhere, and you visit some culture or society or city that's not yours, right? And you're meeting with people for the first time. Is the first thing for you to do to put yourself out there and see who could be trusted and not trusted and to bully your way in? That's the way a lot of people do it. Or is it to sit silent and let them absorb you? Let them take you in. Well, if you're a star, they expect you to perform. They're looking over at you to perform. But when you become passive, they will be able to go over to you and invite you in. Which do you do? Are you the silent, reclusive type who's holding back and judging them? Or are you a person waiting to be absorbed? Now, I would imagine it's normal to wait to be absorbed. See what it's like. They were here before you. This is your place. You know, I know a lot of people who work in the mental health profession. They go in the mental health profession, they go into an agency. And as soon as they go into the agency, they talk about wanting to change everything. So I have people who came to work for me. When they come to work for me, the first thing they said was, you got to paint the office. Wait a minute. What do you mean? You got to change this. You got to change that. You got to change. This place existed 25 years before you walked in. And the first thing you're going to do before you learn it is change it. Of course, they didn't have the job. The people who I appreciate are people like Jamie Ross, who walks in and says, I see what is. Let me learn it first. Then let me see how I could improve it. Fabulous. Fabulous difference. So what kind of person are you? What kind of person are you? Now, here's my big question of the day. And our telephone number here is 212-957-2729. That's the phone and number for the Positive Mind only. It's not for any other part of WBAI. We're not going to help you have your premiums delivered unless it was one of ours. 212-957-2729. But we know as premiums go, they are all delivered. Nobody out there has not received anything from 2 weeks ago because we ship them out. And so, but here's a question we're asking. Have you ever disliked people once and now no longer dislike them? Feel differently about it? A number of different factors could be involved in that dislike versus like thing. I mean, you may have been, at one point I knew a man who was severely burned and he was in a hospital where sometimes they were treating him with steroids. And he felt absolutely antagonistic towards everybody. No call?
Somebody was...
212-957-2729. I'm sorry, I thought that was one of our people coming in. 212-957-2729. Do you dislike, did you once dislike people, but now you find that you like people again? Were you once mentalizing, and are you now possible harmonizing?
And there's actually a way to call this kind of person, I guess. We have this vocab word, misanthrope.
Okay, yeah, what about this word? Let's talk about what a misanthrope is.
A person who dislikes or distrusts other people or mankind in general.
That's the worst. That's when you find that highly negative, antagonistic people. But you know the funny thing about them? The funny thing about that kind of a person who's a misanthrope is they always find somebody to love them. There are people who fall in love with misanthropes because they find some appreciation, but they know by the other person's hatred of that they somehow feel selected. And they also know they can't lose the person. So there's something about being a misanthrope that's very attractive to many people. Usually the woman is attracted to a misanthropic man, you know, because he's depressed and he's angry. Give me another definition for misanthrope. We do have somebody on the line.
The general hatred or distrust or disdain of the human species,
yeah,
or human nature.
Sure. Now, you can't imagine feeling like that, right, Julian?
No. I could see why I know some people that could maybe think that way.
Did you ever feel that way when your heart was broken in a romantic relationship? Did you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, you felt like a
dis- I'll have a day of misanthropy. Misanthropy?
Yeah. Until you meet misanthropy, which is...
Misanthropy.
Peggy Anthropy, she's right around the corner. Hey, let's take a call. Here's Patty on the line. Hey, Patty, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi there. What about you, Patty?
I'm sorry?
What about you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
How are
yes,
you?
You're talking about how you once disliked people, and now you don't feel such a strong dislike?
Right. And I've always been very friendly with people. I've always felt very comfortable with people. I've always loved enjoying to hear what they do, what interests them, anything about them. I've always been overly friendly. And I don't know if this pertains to what we're talking about, but my issue is people eventually give me a very hard time. They give me a hard time.
What do you mean by hard time? What do?
They get vindictive, they get angry, they create turmoil, they create gossip. And I'll be overly friendly, I'll be overly that. Maybe I overdo it.
Well, let me see. Is there anything that you do? Do you gossip?
I gossip a little.
Yeah, now this is a secret for you. So in other words, being as you're so friendly, it is highly possible that whatever I use as a confidence with you might go elsewhere.
Right. Well,
might?
Not like that. I gossip more about how people are affecting me and what their issues might be that they need to affect me so much.
Yeah, so
they have such a hard time with me that they need to create such gossip about me.
What I'm saying to you is, by nature of your gregariousness,
Right.
People are beginning to see that they can't trust you. Because you're friendly, but you're so friendly with everybody.
Right.
That I can't truly trust you. It's not that you're just friendly with me. I knew a woman who walked around with a smile. She had a smile so big that everybody would comment on her teeth. She had good teeth. She didn't have any better teeth than anybody else, but everybody thought she had great teeth because she was always smiling. She had the biggest smile in the world. Everybody liked her. She walked down the street, she was smiling. She met storekeepers, she was smiling. Everywhere she went. She got on an airplane, she was smiling. She got special privileges. She got a lot of things that were good.
Right.
Except, you never knew when she was upset. This is classic passive aggressiveness.
Right.
So when she was upset, she would mix up things, she would be late for dates, she would do things and be powerless. But that smile was an indication. And it's a funny thing about that smile. You know, gorillas, when they get angry, they bare their teeth. They're not saying, I'm happy. The original, of course, reason for a smile was to show aggression. So it, in a funny way, every time I met with her, I would see her smile, and I would see her ready to bite me. See? But I'm different. Because I see through things.
So I'm too friendly?
Well, it's a funny word. It's a funny word. Too friendly? No, you're not friendly enough.
I'm not friendly enough.
Right. What you're not doing...
Right.
...is holding people precious.
Right, right.
Tell me what that means to you.
Holding people precious. Making them feel more important?
Not making them feel important, having them be more important.
I need to make people feel more important.
No, you need to see. Yeah. You need to have people be more important to you.
To me.
Yeah, you see, what you're doing is you're talking about what to do to people. And people are being done by you.
Right.
And what people don't want, they don't want to be done by you. They want to be taken in by you. Inclusive.
So I need to make them, I need to help them get closer to me.
No, you need to be closer to them.
I need to become closer to them, not worry about what they're doing to me. I need to become
it's
closer
not about,
to them.
Yeah, it's not about manufacturing their responses.
Right.
I hope that's helpful to you. You'll see this, you know, I'll bet you had it as a kid too. How did you get the people in your family to love you?
By always doing the right thing.
Always
just
doing the right thing.
Being the perfect kid.
Yeah. How perfect were you? Did you get all the rewards of being a perfect kid?
Nope.
Nope. None of the rewards.
Nope.
So you just kept trying harder and harder.
Right.
Now, didn't it get you angry that you didn't get the rewards for being such a good kid?
Sure. Absolutely.
So absolutely angry that you didn't get the rewards for being a good kid. So here you are going around in life, being a good kid... And showing
right.
you're still angry about it.
Right.
This is an interesting separation because it goes on in the human mind very frequently. And it's the kind of thing where you would have to... It would be good for you to have a wise friend, a therapist, a counselor, somebody you could talk to about it. Because you could sort this one out. You've got a very good introspective mind. But you tend to be self-critical. And the tendency to be self-critical buries your ability to see yourself. See, if you're self-critical, it means that you're being critical of yourself, so yourself wants to hide. It doesn't want to be criticized.
Right.
So that's where you could use some help as a good mirror, not
right.
somebody just telling you, ah, you're a good person. You know?
Right.
You're
right.
angry. You're angry. It's okay to be angry.
Yep.
So what is it about your parents that really bugged you?
They never recognized or acknowledged anything I did. Anything that interests me, anything for me, was never acknowledged.
Now, how about your younger brother?
I have a twin brother.
Yeah, your twin brother, right.
I have a twin brother who was spectacular at everything he did.
Right, that's what I thought. Thank you very much. You can see it right there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your brother was looming on my screen. Looming on my screen.
Yep. He was spectacular, and we have a wonderful relationship as twins, and he was always very supportive of me.
Isn't it interesting? He's supportive of you. You're getting none of the goodies, and he's getting all of the goodies.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting combination.
Right.
It takes a lot to get somebody to love you.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Oh, yes.
Boy, you should have been a misanthrope. It would have been a good beginning for you. Listen, I hope it's been helpful to you.
Immensely.
If you want to send me an email, please do. We'll talk about it even further, Patty. Thank you for calling in.
Yes.
212-957-2729. It's about like and dislike. So there we sorted through a whole series of things. We could hear, I like too much. And we could hear how much I got to get people to like me. How important is it to you that people like you? How important is it? Is it all of life? Hold on, we'll take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm on. Glad to get through. Misanthrope, I looked it up in the dictionary when you talked about it. It's a hater of mankind.
Yeah, is that, you feel like one of those?
Yeah, I get like that sometimes. It's scary if I feel that way, but usually I look at everybody like it says in the I Ching, like a wagon load of demons. They're put in my way for me to, like, sort out whether I'm going to be attacked or be, you know, hated by each one that I encounter, you know?
So that's the first definition that I was talking about, mentalizing.
Yeah.
That's the way you see people, you know?
It's not always, though. It's usually when some events take place in my life. But I had called once before and told you I was incarcerated on false charges. And I think I still am yet to let go of the resentment for that. I think it colors all my thoughts.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Don, it had to take place before you were incarcerated.
Of course it did, yes.
Of course. I mean, Jesus, you wouldn't have been even accused of something wrong if there weren't something about you that was being suspicious of other people at the beginning.
Gotcha.
You know, where'd you grow up?
Bergen County.
Uh-huh. How tough was it?
Very nice. I gotta say it was nice for the most part.
And when did you first start getting angry at people?
Geez, that's got to be in, start getting angry at people. It had to be like in my mid-20s, maybe.
Not during your church years?
Oh, yeah, I did get angry about stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, what about
that? It wasn't serious anger, I don't think.
But let's talk about it for a minute. What about your church years?
I spent my church years not going to parochial school, but attending church regularly and going to, like, a catechism class weekly.
Didn't you love it?
Yeah, it was very nice. I felt very virgin at that time.
And what was the worst part of it?
A lot of it has to do with, like, being seen in those places. Maybe by, like, the people that were cool or something, seeing me going to church in such a normal way and everything, and being part of that clan, if you will. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Apart from them.
So, in a way, it was humiliating.
In a way, yeah.
Who made you go?
Started probably by my mom.
Okay, now your mom sent you to Catholic school while you're in a public school. She sent you to a church.
Right, I didn't go to parochial school, but yeah, I went to church, right?
Right.
And I did that weekly, and I didn't miss. I tried to do it right, you know? But it was because of her influence on me, which I think is positive. I don't know. I never had any kind of grudge about that.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
No, huh?
No, I think it goes right back to that period of time. Where was your dad?
I'm sorry?
Where was your father?
At that time, he was a hard-working guy, and we were really not too close to each other.
Yeah, in fact, was he antagonistic towards you?
Not really, no. I liked him. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, but he was distant. You couldn't find him.
Exactly. Sort of.
Yeah. So you had to depend on your mom, and your mom sent you to a substitute. She sent you to the church to learn more about that, and some part of you didn't like it. Some part of you didn't like it. Some part of you didn't like the way you were moved around. And some part of you did not like that your father wasn't available. So a man like you would wind up with a lot of problems with authorities. You know?
Okay.
Did you ever have problems with jobs, with authorities on jobs?
On occasion.
Yeah.
But the job to an end on the 3 or 4 times I remember that going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got that serious a couple of times.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know where to go with this, Armand.
Well, here's the point.
I called it because I had gotten through once before.
Yeah, so you got through, called through because you got through. And, Don, it's good to hear from you. But at some point, there's a man part of you that has to work out this man part of you. And I recommend, strongly recommend, a series that we did a while back called the Men's Series. And I would like you to hear that. I would like you to hear that. I'd like to at some point meet with you, because it's men like you who remind me of all the guys I knew when I was growing up. You know? No, really. Really, really. It's not easy. Not easy getting through and having a positive attitude. And the trouble is being able to trust a man. See, being able to trust...
Yeah, I got problems with that for sure.
I could tell. I could tell. But you have a relationship with me.
It's not... I don't know what to feel about that. I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it is good. Listen, Don, you're a beautiful guy. I know you're on your journey. I'd love you to keep your eyes open to learn more about this stuff, because you have to go somewhere with it, because where you are now is stuck.
Gotcha.
You know, you're stuck in, not misanthropy, it's not as bad as all that, but you're a man who wants to be loved and who wants to love, and you can't get past the shell of yourself.
And it's been a long time, so that makes it more aggravating.
Sure. Sure, I see.
Thanks, Armand.
Send me an email, would you, Don?
I'll do my best to do that kind of thing. I'm kind of in a stressed situation now. But yeah, I will. I'll keep in touch.
Okay. Bye-bye, Don.
Thank you. Bye now.
It's such a privilege that a person like him, or like Sean, who was with us last week, will trust enough to call and be touched. We have to take a short break, and when we do, we'll be back with you to keep taking your calls. And we're back with you at The Positive Mind. This is Armand DeMille. Hey, we're taking your call just now. See, we have somebody on the line. Hi there, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Yes.
Hi. I don't even know how I'm going to say this, but people tend to like me a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I've been working a lot with myself, but I get suspicious when people try to get too close to me too fast.
Sure.
And since I was a kid, I always had people there, you know, I had a lot of friends, and people want to be by me. And I never knew how to deal with that very well. I am 40 now. I feel like I'm much better than I used to be. I was punished as a kid.
Punished for what?
For being popular. Like, mm-hmm. My stepmother was awful to me, but in a subtle way, but I got the message. So, I was told I have a lot of magnetism and...
So she was jealous of your relationship with your father.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
My father was very, very close to me, my brother and my sister, and very affectionate. And she let us know that that wasn't okay.
She didn't like you being physically close to your father.
No.
Are you suspicious of people when they want to get close to you, because sometimes you think they want to get physically close to you also?
Yes.
Okay, so now we have a correlation. Right? Early childhood, you had a closeness with your father, but you had a mother who hated you for it.
Stepmother.
A stepmother. I'm sorry not to call your mother. Your mother didn't hate you for it, did she?
She was in the picture.
She was in the picture?
No.
Where did she go?
My father, I found when I was 16, my father actually kidnapped us.
And where's your mother now?
She died years ago of leukemia.
Oh, you miss her.
I miss not having a mother.
I hear that.
Because I never had one.
You never had a mother, right?
Yeah.
Well, didn't you have her for the first 16 years?
I had her until I was 4.
Until you were 4, and what happened at 4?
They separated, we with my, she was sickly, and we with my grandparents, and my father didn't like the situation we were in, and he thought the solution was just take us away. But I was reunited with her age 16, and then she passed away about 7 years later of leukemia.
What country were you in?
I am from Brazil.
You're from Brazil. And what's your name?
Katia.
Katia, so this is quite a painful childhood you had. I mean, it was unusually painful. It was is one of trying to be loved, a life of trying to be affectionate, love, to get close. You get close to your father, your stepmother hates you.
Yeah.
Right? Your mother is taken away from you. You must be so confused that all you have to offer people is to say to yourself, here I am, you could love me. But then when they love you, you have to push them away.
Yeah.
How would you rate your attractiveness on a physical level? If you said on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put yourself body-wise?
People tend to think I'm very attractive.
How attractive?
And even though I try to hide it.
They think you're like an 8 or a 9 and you try to hide it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now women get jealous of you.
Yeah, I had that a lot.
You get that a lot, sure. But yet the only thing you know you're looking for is to be loved. So you're like this soft cushion who wants to be loved by somebody. And you put yourself out there, and then when people move towards you, you have to be suspicious. What do they want from me? My body?
Right.
So it's a very difficult thing. But part of this has to do with the early childhood stuff.
I think so. I never had people helping me sort it out growing up.
But you have it now.
Yeah. I'm part of a support group for about a year, and it's been great. I feel like I've improved a lot, but there's still a lot of confusion in my head still.
Yeah. Do you have any one-to-one with anybody that you talk to?
No, not about this, no.
Yeah, support groups are wonderful, but the thing about support groups is they don't give you very much feedback.
Right.
You know? And sometimes it sounds like you want to get the feedback. I've spoken to quite a few people from Brazil where the feeling is isolation more, even though it looks like one terrific samba.
You know,
it looks like one big, beautiful dance.
Right.
It's not. It's very isolated.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're a precious person, and you have a great spirit, Katya, looking to find something real. And I don't think you have to shut down your body to find what you want in life. But I do think you have to make peace with women.
I think I to a point I've done that work, and I have some good friends that are women. I just feel like I something missing that I needed to sort out. I think especially with men, I tend to, with women too, I have some good friends, but you're right, I do, I'm afraid that some woman will be jealous of me.
Yeah, it's always a difficulty.
Yeah, my stepmother and my father come home, the first thing he'll open the door, come to us, and with his arms open, he will, get down a level and hug and kiss us. And I remember when she put me, my brother, and my sister, we're just a year apart. I'm the oldest. And she said that when my father got home and asked for a hug and a kiss, that if we went to him when he was not home, we would be punished. Mm. And we could not tell him. So that kind of stuff.
Pretty yeah. vicious stuff. I understand.
It is vicious.
Your stepmother yeah. was a very confused person who didn't know how to get the love she needed. So she was desperately trying to get it from the children by limiting the children.
Yeah.
Tough stuff. Yeah. Tough stuff. Well, I wish you luck on your path here, Katya, because you're certainly on a path of self-discovery.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, sure. 212-957 2729. It's so confusing what people like you for and don't like you for. It's so hard to figure it out. What's your value to people? That's a real question. Do you have any value to people? Is there any value beyond caretaking? I wonder. If you can't offer people hard things like money, sex, drugs, things that make them feel better, if you can't offer them something like that, what can you offer them? I remember one book that talked about how you can get everybody to like you. And what it said was that what you could do is listen to people's stories. That people want to tell stories. And if you become a good listener, they like you. But if you want to tell anything about your story, they're not going to like you as much. So it's a very interesting question. If you want to be the kind of person who does that, and I know quite a few people who do that, they're very successful in business, you just be somebody who listens to the stories. Or you can listen to the stories for a short while and then try to bring the stories into the present. Try to bring the stories into a relationship here in the present. Let's take another call. Here comes Frank. Frank, hold on a second. Hi, Frank. You're on the WBAI.
Hello, I'm Frank from Brooklyn. I was abused, locked in a closet between the age of 5 and 7. Hmm. And when I was younger, I was very quiet. People would say, oh, he's such a quiet, well-mannered child. You know, I would get a lot of that. And my question to you is, I used to be an introvert, and now I can't seem to stop talking all the time to people. Hmm. And I find that people don't like me as much, but when I was an introvert, people tend to like me because I would listen to their problems and stuff. My question is, how do I find a balance? You know, how do I begin to be liked again? And I guess like myself, because sometimes I feel I don't like myself.
Hmm. What do you find is the shift, Frank, between that's happened in you? You used to listen to people, right? And now you say you talk more about yourself? And people don't like you as much?
Yeah, that's what I feel. I feel people don't like me as much. I mean, I don't understand why. I don't trust people as much, and especially women, because it was a woman that abused me. But you know, I'm just trying to get a hold of it and try to understand why. Why?
Yeah,
I'm
the
so
why.
Focused.
The why. You would imagine if you discovered the why, it would give you the answer to the present. That's what the thought is, right? The thought is that if we figure out why, then we'll know the answer.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's going to be the answer. One of the things you might do is join a group. Are you in any groups of any kind?
No, I do. I do go to therapy, though.
Where do you go to therapy? An individual therapist?
Yes.
Does he have a group?
No.
Okay, so there are groups on the outside that you can go to. There are quite a few, just to be in the settings. Like, I would go for Al-Anon meetings. Al-Anon meetings are terrific. Or even Alcoholics Anonymous are terrific meetings to go to, even though you're not are you a drinker?
Occasionally.
Mm-hmm. So to go to any group where you could go to a group therapy would be the best. You know, if your therapist knows of a group therapy to recommend, because that would be the place where you could learn about yourself. You get feedback from other people. It's hard with a therapist, because a therapist knows you, the you that walks into that room, and doesn't know the way you are on the outside. See, I'll bet you do something funny on the outside that makes people have an aversion to you. It, like, they may just perceive your distrust.
Yeah, I think I'm like the other people that called in. I tend to judge and, you know, think too much mentally about what they think of me.
But you don't look about being included.
No.
You stand back and judge them.
Exactly.
All right. So how could you be more inclusive? How could you be more considerate of inclusion? For example, if you go to a restaurant.
I do try to reach out at times, but I do get nervous, like the shakes, and when I meet someone new, I get nervous and, you know, but
And that starts your mouth going a mile a minute.
Yes.
That starts you going real fast.
Yes.
I understand completely. I understand. But listen, you take some time with it. So I'd look for group therapy if I were you, and look for it. Talk to your therapist about it. He should have a direction for you. If he doesn't have it, send me an email and I'll direct you.
I really appreciate your show.
Okay. Oh, Frank, thank you so much. I really appreciate being able to touch you as well.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. 212-957-2729 is our number. 212-957-2729. We've got a few minutes. So sometimes you don't understand why. And the answer very often has to do with something that you're putting out there as part of your distrust. You know, because if somebody knows that you're wary, they don't feel that you include them. Hey, John, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hey, Armand. Great to hear your voice.
Hello, John. Thank you.
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, having real dislikes and then transforming. I know with my dad, I had that. It wasn't until I actually got into a recovery program for adult children. And I realized that from that program that I could hate the disease and love the person. And it changed and transformed how I looked at my father from that point of view.
Wow, that's quite a difference.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, you know, it wasn't until I got, you know, into a place where I was able to hear that message and take that in.
Well, John, that's very important because that answers another one of the questions that somebody asked me today. He's married to a woman who happens to be what we call borderline personality disorder. And he said to me, how can I love somebody who has got this erratic kind of personality? And I said, you begin seeing the personality as the disease, not as the person themselves. So when the disease comes on with all the anger, irritation, and rage that it aims at you, if you can gather yourself at that moment and say, I'm not seeing the person, I'm seeing the disease. I'm seeing the illness.
That enables
you to appreciate them in a different way.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. And another area of my life, in this recovery program I was in, they deal with resentment. And one of the paths of dealing with that is that if you have a resentment towards somebody, they say that if you will pray for that person to have everything that you have for yourself, you wish their good health, have wealth and happiness and all of the things that you have in your own life for them. And it says if you do it every day, even if you don't want to do it, even if you don't mean it, even if you're just saying the word, that at the end of 2 weeks of saying it every day, you will have transformed how you relate and see that other.
Well, what if you don't have the good stuff in your life, John? How could you do it then? How can you wish for other people to have the good stuff if you don't have the good stuff?
If you don't have the good stuff, Well, if you don't have the good stuff, I would think you would want to find those who do.
Right, but then you're wishing for people who have the good stuff. See, I think what you're saying is very valid.
Yeah.
Here's what I think you can do.
Is that how that works for me is that I then need to make a gratitude list for myself of what I would give away.
Sure.
And when I'm making a gratitude list of myself and then giving it to someone else, it transforms how I think about that other person. It changes it. It washes it.
Beautiful.
I can't hold resentment and have gratitude coming towards that person at the same time.
There's a noise coming from your background, John. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
Is it the radio on in the background?
Oh, no. I'm in a restaurant, actually.
All right.
Somebody's ordering.
Hear that. I wonder what they're ordering. Did you hear what they were ordering?
He's sitting right next to me, Thai food.
He's offering Thai food at the moment.
I'm going to move away for a moment.
No, you don't have to, but he's sitting right next to you, right?
He was sitting right next to me, yes.
How nice. You're sitting at a bar?
No, I'm sitting in a restaurant.
I mean, at a counter, or is it...
No, I was sitting at a table.
At a table with somebody else who you know is a friend of yours?
Yeah, a good friend of mine, yes. Yeah.
Well, put him on the air.
Oh, hold on. I will. I'm on the radio with Amon DeMille.
Amon DeMille.
Hi there.
Amon DeMille.
I was just hearing you order your Thai food.
Yes, this place makes good Thai food.
Tell me something about this. I want you to tell me the one thing about John that you love the most.
Oh, I would say... He's very, very loyal.
Wow.
and very supportive. And I'm going to say one other thing. He's got so much experience in sobriety that he's a good resource to have as a friend.
Wow, it's a wonderful thing. You found a wonderful thing. Thank you. Pass me back to John.
All right.
Well, that's really nice, John. Oops, guess we're not passing back. It's a little transition time here, it's going. Well.
Hi.
Hi, John. Thank you very much. That was very nice.
Oh, you're very welcome.
You didn't hear what he had to say, did you?
I did. I heard him speaking. Well,
seems like you've made a big difference in a lot of people's lives.
Well, you know, I try. And even with making a difference, I still have the places where I fall down.
That's great to know, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to know it?
Yeah, and need support, and have to change.
And there's one other thing that I would add to what you said about offering people the riches that you have. If you don't have riches and you're offering people, you can say, I wish we could have these riches together. And just pick them out of the sky.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I wish we could have them together. Even if I don't have them, let's have them together.
Absolutely. I wish it for us both. Absolutely right. Yeah.
John, thank you for calling in. Enjoy your food.
Thank you, Amon. You are a delight to me. Thank you.
Speak to you soon. This is Amon DeMille. We've run out of time, unfortunately. Dislike, we'll be continuing tomorrow with a different subject, but it was good to have your calls, and it's great to have your calls. Good to speak with you people. I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., and special thanks to our engineer for pulling us through today's change of events. Never think for a moment that I don't have the music. Thank you.
I'm Simon. In Russia, and taking their money into